Hello, it's Gray.
Hello, it's Crystal.
And this is Bus Asian Beauty, the supernatural commentary podcast where I, someone who has seen this show many, many times.
And I, someone who only knows the show through social media, discuss every single episode of Supernatural from start to finish. Also, we are both Asian.
Both Asian. For today's episode, we will be discussing season 5, episode 6, I Believe the Children Are Our Future, written by Daniel Laughlin and Andrew Dabb, directed by Charles Beeson. Laughlin Dabb.
Well, yeah. Well, soon they will do a terrible thing to us.
When soon?
When's Hammer of the Gods?
Oh my god, you're right. It is. They are Hammer of the Gods.
Yeah, I mean, that is what I primarily think of them as.
They will do 2 episodes first before they do Hammer of the Gods.
All right. Okay, I'll work up to hating them then.
Yeah.
We finally get a proper Sam Mirror episode. It's been so long.
Literally, what if there was a mirror held up in front of Sam Winchester? And it's so fun. What if? You know what? I will say this. I will put this on the record. This is a good Supernatural episode.
Mm.
Do you agree, disagree, what are your thoughts?
I think I generally liked it, but I think that some of the, like, stuff they said wasn't making any sense. Well, like, especially at the end.
That's why I said it's a good Supernatural episode. Like, it's not a good... I think it could be a good episode, but I'm not going to make that stance. Like, I'm not going to die on that hill. But I am going to die on the hill of it being a good Supernatural episode. Like, it has all the makings of Supernatural. It's not, like, trying something new or different.
Mm.
It's just Supernatural as what it does. And it does a good job of it. I think it's a fine Supernatural episode. It's a wonderful Supernatural episode.
He didn't even leave a note with his birth mom. Well, where did she go after that?
I have no idea. It is crazy that she was a person. And then...
Yeah, and then she gets possessed, and then she's just passed out in a chair for the rest of the
episode. She was a person, and her backstory is about how traumatizing it was to be possessed. And then at the end of the episode, she gets possessed, and then she is treated like every other person that was a vessel in Supernatural that isn't the main character. Yep. And it's like, well...
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, literally, it's like, it was so terrible to be used only for my body, and I'm still dealing with the repercussions of that, and then at the end, they just treat her like a body as well.
Yeah.
Good job, writers.
And, like, they didn't even think about taking her to Bobby's as well, or giving her a damn, like, amulet.
Tattoo.
Yeah, I don't know. Giving her Bobby's hat? Like, you haven't thought of this?
Exactly. Also, yeah, all this, whatever, we'll get into it later. The conversation on the car made no sense.
I completely zoned out in that part because I was like, what the fuck are they talking about?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, okay. I wish Dad didn't tell us things when we were kids. What? Okay.
I wish instead he lied about how jacking off makes hair grow on your palms. Like, no, you don't.
Well, first, what did you know about this episode before going in?
Just that this was gonna be with an Antichrist kid named Jesse, and who Cass wants to kill him.
Feminist.
And then
he'll
turn Cass into an action figure, and then Dean will ask also if feminist. He can bring him back, because Cass is, like, his friend.
It's my buddy Cass, yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of a buddy of mine.
Oh, lovely. I think I've said this before, but this is another one of those episodes where Cass is in it, but also, like, not really. Like, he is in it.
And they do action figure him.
Yeah, they put him in the bank vault by turning him into an action figure. And, like,
exactly.
He is relevant, but also like, what I mean is in future seasons when he becomes more of a, there's a plot A, plot B happening in this episode and he's plot B kind of situation, or sometimes even plot A. And in the future, I would say, I'm premonitioning that I would say that, oh, I miss when Cass was just like in like an episode that's just like his role is just bullshit. He's just in there. And because it adds to the vibe of the show that they just have this buddy that like shows up sometimes and it's no big deal. I mean, it is a big, you know what I mean, right? Like, it's no big deal to the show. Instead of like, every time he shows up, it has to be because of a big plot reason or a big character reason. And it makes the show feel smaller. It makes the world feel smaller. Because every time he's here, it has to be a big deal by the episode. And now it's like, he's here, it's not that big of a deal. And that's wonderful to me. I would admit, for a substantial amount of time before he shows up, I mean, I knew he was going to be here. I was just thinking, when's Cass going to show up? When's Cass going to be here? So, I don't know. It's a double-edged sword. Well, we start with the dance sequence that was so ominous. I was half scared that Sam and Dean are going to have a big fight again. Because it starts with, you chose a demon over your own brother. And I was like, I thought we were past this. But we are. We are in the episode. It's not like brought up.
This that they're working as a team so hard that they refuse to split up, which I think is like a large issue during a lot of the episode.
Why? Why do you think so? They split up like in the hospital. Sam went to a different floor and Dean went to a different floor.
That's one of them should have stayed with Jesse and one of them should have stayed with his mom or something. I feel like that would have solved most problems.
No, yeah. You're right. But they did split up. Don't peddle lies in this podcast.
Floors of the hospital, I don't think counts. Like, well, split up as in, like, different buildings at the very least.
Well, okay. All right. But the ominous stone doesn't really continue into the episode. Actually, a substantial amount of the episode was light. Was, like, trying to be funny. So, there was, I suppose, like, some idea that this could be... Like, they bring up the trickster, blah, blah, blah. But you know it's not gonna be like that because it's not in the dance sequence.
They bring it up because changing channels is coming like up so soon. They want to remind you of Gabriel, right?
You're right. When is changing channels? When do we change our channels? I
think it might be like literally next.
Oh, it's 5:08. So it's near.
Okay, so in two.
It's near. It's episodes. Near. You're right, actually. That's true. Dance sequence ends with Sam and Dean reconciling. Wow. King and Link, we're gonna go down fighting. We're just gonna grab onto whatever is in front of us. And it's like, this could be from any episode. This could literally be from any fucking episode. But
they say this constantly. Also, you didn't beat up this child, so I think you were lying.
I think Sam was lying. You know,
something to think about.
I think Sam is of the perspective that they're the good guys and then they don't kill children because of that. But, like, he also said that they would just grab onto whatever's in front of them, so...
Yeah, and then kick its ass, so... Yeah. Yeah, interesting, Sam.
Bit hypocritical from Sam Winchester.
What do you have to say to the people of the U.S. America about this?
And the Philippines, even.
And the Philippines. I guess nothing, because it's not on Netflix for you guys.
Yeah, can you? Why? But Supernatural.
So that he wouldn't have to be liable for his lies to the people of the Philippines.
This is the real reason, the only reason. But it would be awfully convenient. And maybe we would even get a Tagalog dub on Netflix so I don't have to hound whoever has ever worked in TV5 for the fucking Tagalog dub. again, if you know any way that I can access that fucking dub, I want it very much. Thank you. The episode starts. We've got, like, a young lady. She's going to be revealed to be babysitting in a while. Or, I don't know, is it called babysitting if it's not a baby?
Yeah, it's still called babysitting.
Okay. This is, like, really popular in the U.S. Yeah. Did you ever get one? Is that, like, something for you?
No, I never got one.
Okay. It's, like, a specific demographic.
Yeah, I think I usually had a parent. Well, I think it's just, like... Like, how many of your parents work, what hours they work, how much money they make so that they can get a babysitter. And then,
okay.
I don't know, like, I think sometimes people will get a babysitter when they want to go on, like dates with their partner or something. And yeah. So they're leaving the kids alone at night. But yeah, it's also if your parents don't have friends that they can leave you with, I suppose.
Yeah. Like, you just go to your aunt's house or you go to your neighbor's house for the afternoon or whatever. She's babysitting and she is, you know, she's brushing her hair while sitting in front of this television, very close to the TV. And she's watching and watching. And she is wearing a typical Supernatural outfit. And she's in a typical Supernatural house with typical Supernatural lighting. And all I could think of was like, can you believe that she's not like, I'm in a Supernatural episode, but it looks like this. Like, girl, be fucking for real right now. I can't believe people on television don't realize that they're on television. Like, bro, you're literally in Supernatural. Also, isn't it so odd that they just never change fashion styles in this show? I mean, is it odd?
It's true, or that's just how it is? It's been a few years.
It's been a few years and it will continue to be a few more years and the look of the outfits would never change.
No one changes their outfits? Wow.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe the costume department just bought like things in bulk in like 2005 and they're just slowly working through it.
For real. Eventually she hears like some rustling, some bustling, and she realizes that, oh, something's happening. She goes to the closet. She opens the closet door and there's a kid there. And he is like, he has like stuff in his head, like it poked into his head.
One of those hats that's like half of an arrow on each side so it looks like it went through your head.
And he has like a quote bloody face. And I didn't realize that this was a trick at first. So I was like,
oh, I don't think you're supposed to.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was like, what an interesting turn of events that this girl is a serial killer. Because she opens it and she's like, oh, come on. And I was like, oh my god, she killed this kid. Wonderful. But no, she did not kill this kid.
No, she's gonna die instead. It's very sad.
Very sad. The child should have died. Is that what you're saying, Crystal? The child should have died.
Babysitters are often teens as well. I don't know how old this she is. She could be a child or who is died. It?
Why are you making a child watch over your child and pay them to? Like,
that's how it is.
Just let them be by themselves, just like Jesse later.
Yeah, I mean, Jesse's a pretty good kid. Like, he may have caused many problems, but that wasn't on him.
It literally isn't. But yeah. She tells the kid to go to bed, and then the kid is like, but before I go to bed, can I touch your boob? Or something like that. And like, ugh, annoying. But also, this kid will be traumatized to Ellen back later, so.
Yeah, no, it's just an annoying thing to put in, because I feel like the hot babysitter is, like, such a trope.
Overplayed trope.
Because I think it's, and it's overplayed. And I hope that it hasn't led to more babysitters getting sexually harassed, but it probably has if, like, you're a young kid who doesn't know shit and you're watching TV and there's more hot babysitter tropes in front of you all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's annoying for that reason.
He goes up. She stays downstairs. She continues brushing her hair. She sees something outside. She looks out the window. It's, you know, like... It's a whole thing. And then when the family shows up, when the mom and dad, she's like on the couch and she's sleeping, and the TV is all buzzy, and the dad is like, okay, don't wait up, I'm just going to get her home or whatever.
Which implies that she can't drive, right? So she probably is a teen.
What is the driving age? Is it also 21?
16.
What the fuck? Wait, so your drinking age is 21.
Some people get their licenses. Yeah, the drinking age is 21, driving age is 16. No, you're right. You could probably kill a lot more people by driving than by drinking.
Well, at least you're not gonna be drunk driving.
That's true. Yeah, I guess the point is for you to get a few years of getting good at driving, yeah, so that when some people inevitably drunk drive, they'll be like better at it.
Yeah, except you and I are never gonna you and I are never gonna drive ever, probably. Do you have a driver's license? You do?
I have a driver's license.
That's crazy. Yeah. That is so against my perspective of you as a person. The dad tries to wake her up. She's not waking. When he moves her head over, he feels it's wet, and so he puts his hand under the lamp. It's bloody. He turns her over fully, and her entire side of her head is clawed open. Wonderful, yep. Honestly. Like, it looks like it has sloughed off.
Mm.
And I think the visual effect is very nice.
He ruins it by shouting, Francine! It's crazy that people are named Francine. Good for them.
Hey, Francine is a fine name.
Yeah, I think it's just from, like, a different decade in the U.S.
It's
but,
not!
I mean, this woman is from a different decade.
I have many friends named Francine. I know many people
I said
my
in the
age
US.
Named Francine. Okay, fine.
We are in the morgue, and Sam and Dean are being FBI agents. Like, does the transcript usually say Dean and Sam instead of Sam and Dean? Like, I saw that and I was like, something's wrong with this.
I think it
depends.
Has this
been like a pattern?
I think it depends. Okay. I'm not particularly sure. Although, the technical correct way to do it is Dean and Sam because of the order of letters.
You mean, wait, like, you're usually supposed to list it in alphabetical order?
I mean, I usually do, yeah. Well, when it's names like...
But you said
when it's two names
correct,
like this.
Like, what's the technicality?
I don't know. Don't ask me those kinds of questions.
You said!
Yeah. They do Led Zepp names this episode. And yeah. You know what? I think it's... What? I like it better when I don't recognize the names. I think it's so annoying when I do. I'm like, shut the fuck up. You think you're so clever, Robert Plant? Like, shut the fuck up, Sam.
We're agents Will and Wood.
Yeah, exactly.
They're asking to see Amber, the babysitter's body. Because apparently something clawed through her skull. Apparently the autopsy report that he mailed out this morning, Sam said they had no bars, so they didn't get it.
No bars.
Is that they found one of her acrylic nails, which I did notice, they're very beautiful during the opening sequence.
Yeah.
They found one of them lodged inside of her temporal lobe.
Truly.
Which means
insane.
That she literally scratched her brains out. And this is something that is apparently technically possible. The doctor drops a little ableist line about, oh, like the reason she did it was OCD or PCP, but it all spells crazy. Did they think this was, like, funny?
I don't know, but the doctor is, like...
Does it, the doctor's an asshole? Like, what are they trying to establish
here? Well, because
here?
We're supposed to think the doctor is stupid for saying this, because we know that's not true.
Right.
I think.
So, yeah. All right. Okay, well, I'm still looking with reproach.
Yeah.
And he says that it's probably like something like a phantom itch where you just can't stop scratching. Yeah. And then, yeah, that's the end of that scene. But Sam and Dean both sort of scratch themselves a little because they're now finding itchiness within themselves.
I would say also that the director, like the way this episode is directed, I quite liked. There's one scene that is viciously bad. I'll point it out later.
But there's multiple scenes that have Robert Singer worthy zooms or cuts.
But in general, I quite really like the way the episode is directed. Like, the way they pull out the body and then the shots of Sam and Dean's face, the shot of the hand missing the nail. Like, all of it does look quite cinematic, I believe. And it's like one of those, this is one of those episodes where, like, in my head, again, when I think of, like, supernatural aesthetics, I'm like, oh, that's one. Which is, like, because usually those are season one episodes when I think of it, right? Think of supernatural aesthetic. You're thinking of season one. But, so this one, I don't know. It doesn't look like season one. But it has a vibe to it that I like. It's nice. I like this episode. Sometimes I like episodes. Who'd have thunk? Well, I mean, everybody, because apparently I've liked every single episode of season 5 so far or something.
Yeah, you have.
So we go to the house that she was in when she died. And I was like, well, that's interesting that they're interviewing these people and not other people. Like, I don't know if...
Like what people?
Like her parents. I feel like that would be... What? But it's because they are suspecting the place, not the general before. Or are they?
Yeah, I think if they're thinking about... I think if you're thinking about ghosts and shit, then you assume...
You are suspecting the place.
It's place-based.
Yeah. Yeah, they're interviewing the family of the house she was in. And Sam prefaces the question with, "This may seem odd," which is, why did they not just do this every single time? Like, hey, we're going to be asking odd questions, but stick with us. I feel like that is going to make people more willing to be like, well, that's an odd question, let me answer it, then fucking. Does it smell weird here?
Sometimes it makes you like... Like, prefacing it with, this might be weird, but makes you, like, realize that things are weird faster, though. Like, maybe in the past they were hoping that people would just answer questions without thinking about it much.
Yeah. Okay. I just cannot stop thinking about the people that, like, Sam and Dean interview as FBI agents. And they think that the FBI is on their case. But they're not. And, like... For some people, that would be an incredibly devastating blow, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they really don't circle back. Like, this kid is going to spend the rest of his life thinking that he killed his babysitter.
Yeah, because she's dead, so she hasn't been restored.
Yeah, she's the only one who wasn't, like, brought back.
Well, there was
Jesse.
The guy who got electrocuted.
Oh, yeah.
So it's two
people.
Two. Yeah.
Oh, that kid and that retiree are both going through it.
And the ham.
And the ham. Jesse brings it back as a pig.
Yeah, exactly. Sam asks about cold spots or, like, strange smells, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, Dean is separated from Sam. And is, like, walking around the house looking at stuff.
In the open floor plan, so there's not even a door between them yet.
Well, and Dean sees the kid. He goes towards him and asks him about stuff, and he tries to connect. And I do find this interesting because, you know, usually when they have kids, they do have Dean try to connect with the kid. I feel like earlier seasons, it was easier for him to do so. As he grows older, I think it becomes more difficult to the point of when he's older, he's being made fun of by kids more than connecting
Good.
With them.
I mean, also, like, he's an FBI agent here, right? Like, in the past, he wasn't pretending to be an FBI agent when he was interviewing kids like that. puts up barriers between your ability to connect.
So what he does here is talks to the kid. He tries to connect by being like, oh yeah, I had a babysitter. Not a good.
Named Miss Chansey, which is also an interesting name. I just feel like Francine and Miss Chansey are both like, I don't know who came up with these names. Someone's having like a weird British face.
Francine is not British. Francine. Well, how do you say it in a British accent so I can visualize? Francine. I don't know. See, it doesn't work.
I mean, Clara's Clara in British. Like they can, you can fuck with the vowels. Francine is French though, so the British would not want it.
This is true. So see, it's not British. No one's having a British face.
Yeah. Fine, they're having a Europe face.
Dean asks if he saw anything strange that night. And the kid keeps on denying. And Dean does something that is so threatening, which is he puts his hand on this kid's shoulder and goes, I happen to know you're lying. Either you tell the truth or I'm going to have to take you downtown, like to the precinct, is the implication. Mm. Which is like crazy. Bro. I mean, the fact that he was like, I'm gonna try to connect with this kid, doesn't work. Yeah. I'm going to fucking arrest you. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this episode is the one where Dean completely fails at connecting to kids. Because, like, the kid of the day is a Sam Mirror, and he doesn't understand that.
Yeah.
So, this is just a precursor to that.
There is something to me about how Sam, when he saw Jesse making...
Yeah, he went, you are my mirror, I am your mirror, let us hold hands.
And no, like, when he saw Jesse making soup, he goes, I used to make lunch or dinner for myself all the time as well. And, like... Mm. Because me, physical manifestation of Dean Winchester, as we have established, my first immediate thought was, oh, Dean used to make that for him and Sam.
No.
And so I think perhaps that would also be Dean's, like, reaction. But versus but Sam, sure who...
I'm sure that Sam also made his own
No. Versus Sam, I'm sure it happened. But in terms of conceptualization of the past... Like, it is fascinating to me that for Dean, which this is something I completely made up in my head, so maybe it's not even true, but I think it is.
Yeah, like, we don't know what he's thinking.
He probably conceives it as, like, him and Sam, him making something for Sam, versus Sam, who conceives it as, like, by himself. I'm making dinner for myself.
He didn't share with Dean?
No, like... He probably remembers the stuff when it was just him more. And, like, it's about the prevalent memory in your head of your childhood. And I was like, that's interesting that Sam said that and therefore betrays a prevalence of memory in his head.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, like, it's not about, like, what actually happened. Because, I'm sure both things did happen. It's more of, like, what do you remember? But that's for fucking later. Here, they go out, and Dean relays to Sam that the kid put itching powder on the hairbrush of the babysitter.
Yeah.
So, that's crazy.
Why?
That's crazy.
I don't know. Kids just do things, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Dean did put that whoopee cushion.
Well, a whoopee cushion is just like an embarrassment thing. Like, itching powder is meant to cause you physical distress.
Yeah, this is true. That is one of the, I think, worst things you can do as a prank to someone. Like, in terms of the general prank items that you can do. That's, like, up there as, like, because it lasts for a long time in theory. And if you have sensitive skin, it can do real long damage for you. But whatever. This kid is going to be, again, this kid's kind of a dick, but it's also going to be traumatized for the rest of his life. So they get a call and they go to a hospital where a guy got electrocuted because there's like a retiree, like an old man who they talk to. And he says, he was joking around. He was feeling goofy, silly. And he shook this guy's hand with a, like, what is this? Like a little electric buzzer or whatever? It's a
joy buzzer, it says. Yeah.
Yeah, but what is it? It's supposed to give you a little shock, right?
Yeah, but there's no actual electricity. It just, like, moves around a lot. So, like, it feels like vibrations from a shock.
Oh. Why is it called joy buzzer?
Because it causes you joy to buzz somebody. That does sound like a vibrator, though.
Yeah. Well, it does. And yeah. Sam and Dean are curious as to how this is. There's this, like, scene where Dean puts on goggles, puts on gloves, puts on, like, makes a show of putting on safety gear. And then he holds the joy buzzer and then presses it into a piece of ham.
Sam also puts on the goggles and the safety gear.
Does he really? That is so funny. Yeah. They're cooking ham. They're cooking. He electrocutes this fucking ham and it goes from completely uncooked or I don't know. Can ham be completely uncooked? Don't you smoke that shit? It's how does ham work?
Cured in some way. I don't know.
Because ham can just be the cut also. Like, I think. Or is it specifically? Well,
there's cooked ham and there's uncooked ham. So you're probably thinking about the cooked ham.
Yeah, well, it's an uncooked ham. And now it's cooked. Now they have a cooked ham. And Dean, it's like, wow, this thing doesn't even have batteries and it's not even supposed to do anything. And they're like, are we looking at curse objects? What are we looking at? Is there a witch? And throughout all this, Dean has pulled out a knife and is eating the ham. And they make a point of it throughout the rest of this episode where he keeps on eating the ham and Sam being like, ugh, Dean, why are you eating the ham still? These two items don't come from the same place. Like, they were not produced in the same place, but they come from the same store.
They're at this prank store. They're browsing. Dean picks up a whoopee cushion, which will come back later. They're under the impression that the owner is a powerful witch. So they question him. Dean buys the whoopee cushion. And it becomes clear that the owner is upset that kids don't really buy things here because they just care about iPhones and those kissing vampire movies. Last episode, there was also like the millennials don't care about wax museums, but I'm gonna get them in through Paris Hilton, right? Like, sort of a streak of kids these days on they damn phones.
Yeah. And are they being for real?
What?
Like, what is the show intending for this to be? Again, like, same question you asked with the doctor earlier. Like, is this supposed to be like, haha, that's so true, or haha, that's so stupid?
I think it's like, that's so true, but prank stores and wax museums are loser behavior. So it's funny that this person's complaining about it, because of course an iPhone is better than a wax museum.
Yeah, and also kissing vampire movies.
Sam and Dean are sort of egging him on, like, oh, aren't you mad about that? And he's like, yeah, I am. Don't you hate them? Yeah, I do. And then Dean goes, so you're taking revenge with this. And then he electrocutes a rubber chicken.
God, that place is gonna smell like fucking plastic forever. Yeah.
When a revenge brother meets a not revenge brother, this is the inevitable conclusion. The chicken, like, fucking, like, is like a melted puddle. It's pretty nasty. And the guy, the owner, he's screaming, he's jumping back, he's like, oh my god, what the fuck? So then Sam is like, yeah, no, I don't think this guy's a witch. And Dean goes, sorry. And then they go with the whole rubber chicken still melted on the counter. Now we are in a girl's bedroom. I don't think this child actress is very good, but she is a child actress, so I get it. She's just lost a tooth and her dad is putting it under the pillow and telling her about the tooth fairy. And she goes like, so some freak is gonna come in my room while I'm sleeping and take my tooth? Sounds scary. No, thank you.
She's so real for that.
After he falls asleep, she goes into his room and then hides her tooth under his pillow. Later in the night, somebody comes into the bedroom. It is the tooth fairy, represented as like a man with a beard wearing a pink tutu and sparkly wings. And he's being all menacing. And he has a pair of pliers. And he starts pulling out the dad's teeth. Okay, I have two questions about the tooth fairy. Okay, because these are all like what Jesse's parents told him, right?
Yeah.
So like,
so they were like, don't expect a coin, because...
Yeah, they all, the tooth fairy only wants live teeth. Like, why would they say that? I don't know. These parents, like, we don't meet them. And, like, something is deeply wrong with them as people. Based off of what happens this episode.
We don't ever meet them. And, like, I don't know. It's fascinating, again, to me that, like, I was gonna bring it up earlier. Like, we don't meet the babysitter's parents. We meet, like, the family that's already there for casting reasons, I suppose. And here, too, like, we never meet the parents. Again, I think for casting reasons, but...
I mean, we see them asleep in the bed.
Yeah, but they... somebody, but speaking lines are a lot more expensive than somebody standing there. Or lying down there, I suppose.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's confusing. Also, I don't know why the Tooth Fairy is portrayed like this, like, physically. Because, like, I think when we got to the part of the episode where, like, Jesse's... I was watching this with Danica also. When we got to the part of the episode where Jesse was like, oh, that's what my parents said, and, like, the Tooth Fairy looks like... Like,
why did Danica your parents like, say
oh,
that?
Oh, he's about to say something so homophobic, but then they move on. But,
yeah.
Like, I wonder if that was... what the point was.
Oh, because fairy like, is like, a slur?
Yeah, like if the dad was like, oh, fucking fairies or something. You know, like...
And then he... Like
typically it could not, the tooth it fairy could is be portrayed like, as a woman.
Yeah, it could be like if the dad's homophobic and calls gay people fairies, he just associated it. Yeah,
and it's like it. A guy with a beard and he's like, oh, like, so that's what the tooth fairy looks like.
And
also,
it's not,
I don't know why I said dad. Moms can be homophobic too. Hashtag equality.
Hashtag equality and feminism.
Yeah, I just feel like I've only heard fairy used by, like, men. Like, I feel like, but, like, all women can use slurs too. Hashtag feminism.
I've only heard fairy used by Dean Winchester.
Exactly.
And yeah. So, that guy.
No, yeah, I think given that, like, Supernatural, the show, thinks that the sentence, fight the fairies, would immediately make you think of homophobia, I think maybe they were trying to go for something like that there, but they just didn't follow through entirely.
Oh, thank God they didn't.
Jesse still has to love his parents or whatever.
Well, Jesse still has to love his parents, and also we're supposed to think he's, like, a nicey kid. With just some misconceptions.
I don't think he's not nicey. Like, you could have misconceptions because your dad keeps saying fairies. Like, you don't have to be homophobic yourself.
Yeah, and also it's not like a homophobic...
Why did I say dad again? Your parent.
We are exposing our prejudices. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Prejudices?
Yeah.
Whatever. We're exposing that here in this podcast episode.
This guy is still alive, but he's in the hospital, so Sam and Dean go interview him. Sam's doing his job, whereas Dean is being the most annoying guy you'll ever meet. He's flirting with a nurse, and, like, he goes like, I appreciate that, nurse. And then the transcript says that he reads her name tag. He does not just read her name tag. It is clipped like at her waist and he picks grabs it up it. And yeah. like pulls it towards him. Like if anyone tried to do that, I would kill them probably.
Yeah, but this person seems to be liking it.
Yeah. So maybe Dean's just picking up on signals or yeah. whatever.
I mean, we've had the discussion way back when we were still doing the mm-hmm. per-person Sam and Dean misogyny counts. Can you believe yeah. such a time has existed? What an yeah. era in that pod. But
indeed.
Yeah. Like, one time we gave Sam 5 yeah. points and apparently yes. Sam girls are really mad at us. Yeah. So that's wonderful.
Wonderful.
Like, my point here is yeah. we said way back then that flirting doesn't count. Yeah, well, it depends on the flirting.
Counts, but I think that, yeah. I don't know. I think that any flirting move that involves like
the office.
Taking someone's yeah. name card at their waist, like it, like outside the door of like a hospital room while they're working, should just be toned down.
Well, at least he doesn't yeah. try to hit her up again. Just jacks off about it.
God, I can't. Why did they put that in?
No. What do you mean? Like, what do you mean? Is it a distasteful joke?
No, but it's like, because it just doesn't really have a point to anything. It's not yeah. like later they ask the kid, and what did your parents tell you about jacking off? Because, like, that wouldn't be appropriate. But, like, yeah. they did, like...
It's for the comedy. It's for the lulz. There's no nothing to... There's nothing to it, honestly.
Also, like, he didn't know when Sam was going to get back. Like, do it at the bathroom, at least. I guess we don't know that he didn't do it in the bathroom.
Well, we don't know.
But, like, yeah... I don't know.
Jacking off is fine, is my hot take. Even if it gives you hair on your palms.
It is fine. It's just an odd thing to put in.
It is an odd thing to put in. I'm just going to agree with everything you say and then also disagree.
So after the flirting's over, he rejoins Sam. What Sam found out was that the tooth fairy that got this guy was 5'10", 350 pounds, had wings and a pink tutu, and got in without triggering any alarms, and it left 32 quarters underneath his pillow, one for each tooth.
That's Slay. Pretty fun. That's
like
fun.
$8. And Dean says that he found out that there's some kids in the hospital with stomach ulcers from mixing Pop Rocks and Coke, and then another guy's face froze that way. And the way was, like, a very silly face.
Yeah.
Dean seems worried that it's going to stick for with him as well.
Yeah.
Sam just doesn't really know how to put these together. And then Dean says that when he was a kid, he thought that sea monkeys were real. Well, I, like, fully believed all the ads that, like, they were, like, basically people and shit. And Dean says, you know, like, maybe, like, the connection is that everything that's happened is a lie that kids believe. And Sam says, okay, so, like, it's coming true. Whoever's doing this reshapes reality. Like, they have the power of a god or a trickster. Because, you know, he's on that Sabriel brain.
Yeah.
And
so true.
Or maybe it's a kid. Who knows?
We're back at the motel and Sam is entering it with, like, he's done research, whatever. See, they separated. I'm just gonna this be so true. Annoying for the rest of this episode regarding that. Dean is eating a sandwich again with the ham. And yeah, Sam was like, dude, really? Still with the ham? And Dean goes, we don't have a fridge. At what point are we going to talk about that? We've promised to talk about Sam's vegetarian situation.
He's not vegetarian yet.
Yeah, yeah. When it happens, we promise to talk about it. With Dean,
we have.
Have we talked about it? Like his relationship with food. It's just
yeah, we've talked about
okay.
it.
Okay, I mean it's just your typical talking point. It's because there are stuff here in the podcast that it like I know it's a popular talking point in the fandom.
The fandom talk about,
but like, it does make me feel like let's acknowledge it that as something that happens, but let's not get into it because all that's been said and done has been said and done. Although, do we have listeners that are not like particularly in the fandom?
I'm sure we do. We have some people came over from Rubbish Pod.
Yeah, if you are here and you're not in the fandom, why? And thank you. And if you're here from Rubbish Pod, why? And thank you.
Yeah.
So Sam relays what he has found, which is that he put the incidents on a map, and in the they form like a circle. And in the center of that circle is like a house with like a field. Why did he have to go out to do this?
Sam?
Yeah.
Well, he needed to get like a physical map of the
this
town.
Is true.
Like,
you're right.
He could I don't have know just if they Google had maps. Google Maps yeah. yet.
Dean, as we said earlier, goes, we're in the circle, aren't we? Because, and then he raises his hand and there's hair all over his palm. Because he jacked off. They go to the farmhouse. There is truly god-awful CGI in this scene. Like, it looks Where? So bad. The Impala, like, pulls up in front of a house.
Mm.
And the way it's shot, it's like, the house is so obviously green screen.
Oh.
Did you not notice? It stuck out to me so bad, and I was baffled, mortified, all the other adjectives about it.
I think I was still reeling from the Dean masturbation joke. I was, you know, I was so emotionally distressed, I didn't notice anything else.
It is funny to me, because the whole time that they were walking towards it, I was just thinking, how are they going to cut away from this? How the fuck are they going to cut away from this truly god-awful scene? And they did. Wonderful. Good for them. Yeah, they try to open the house. And Sam, picks the lock. But the door opens. And it's a little boy. Like, 9 years old is what they said, right?
How old is he supposed to be?
Oh, 8, I think. Maybe 8. Or something as such.
Who's telling their kids that jerking off makes hair grow on your palms when that kid is 8?
Oh, sorry. I watched a play earlier today and the kid from that one was 8 years old. This kid, I'm not sure. But probably 11.
Maybe the conversation with Julia might say how long ago. Okay, he was born in 1998, the kid was. And
this is
2009. So
yeah.
He's 11.
11, yeah. Just
like... Oh my god, just like Adam.
Yeah, just like Adam.
From Good Omens. I mean, there's a lot of, I think, Good Omens borrowing in this episode.
Oh, really? Can you name them?
No, I don't remember. I just remember having that thought.
So sad. You always need to bring your evidence in Bad Pod recordings. This is trial by fire.
It's true. It is.
He is a very... Like, there is not an ounce of this kid that is not aware of what's happening in his surroundings. Like, he's very... Like, okay, can I help you? And Sam and Dean are like, hey, so like, what's your name? And he's like, who wants to know? Can I see your ID? And yeah, he's vigilant is a term about these things. Which makes me wonder why. Like, is it like a social service thing? Because he's obviously left
probably,
alone a lot.
Probably, because, he shouldn't be left alone that much. So it's to prevent Child Protective Services from taking him away. Yeah, probably his parents trained him to do that.
And Dean even goes at some point like, come on, you can trust us. We're the authorities. Very threatening. Yeah, they eventually go in. The kid is boiling some soup. And Sam goes, what's that? And Jesse realizes, just like us, that this is a stupid as fuck question. And he goes, it's soup. Well, he says it's called soup, which is even funnier. Yeah. And he says, you heat it up and then you eat it. And Sam is like, oh, yeah. But like, I used to make my own dinner too when I was a kid. Oh, he's mirroring. He said, I'll be your viewer. Jesse says, well, I'm not a kid. Which, you know, Sam immediately was like, yeah. No, I know. But he introduces himself as Robert. Very fun. And
I'm surprised that Sam got Robert Plant. Wouldn't Dean want that one?
Well, Robert Plant is the main vocalist, so probably Dean would want that. But Jimmy Page is, I would say, has a better, to me, he's a cooler guy to me. So, okay. I don't know. And I am anything. The physical manifestation of Dean Winchester.
Yeah. Or this is part of the, we have to, like, work as a team. Dean's like, you know what, Sam, this time you can be Robert Plant. It's nice that Sam has decided to mirror it up here. Like, he seems almost, like, caught in the nostalgia sauce when, like, Jesse reminds him that he's not a kid.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a while since he's thought about his childhood, I feel like, just because the present moment is so,
the last time,
like, intense.
Well, I mean, he did think about his childhood in 21, for 21. That's the reason, true. I think.
It's been a bit.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, what has Dean thought about his childhood? Have we considered?
Who cares?
I care. The thing is, Sam, I think, likes to think about his childhood. And Dean does not.
Does he?
It's probably complicated and often painful. But he does do it often, and we see him do it often. And it is, like, I just cannot imagine. I cannot imagine a situation where Dean would, in his head, like, I mean, I understand that, like, it's not like Sam was choosing to do what was happening in 421. Like, he wasn't, like, choosing who to talk to, like, who will manifest as him and talk to him. But, like, the fact that for him, it was a kid, like, I cannot imagine any situation where Dean would, that would, like, supernatural will that have that happen to Dean Winchester. Do you understand what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's because Sam as a kid had hopes and dreams.
Yeah. Versus so, Dean, that, like,
there's something there.
I think those hopes and dreams, no matter how much, you know, broken dreams, are they bad or are they something else, just like Bruce Springsteen, like, it's still something to look back on versus Dean that I think has less of that as a child and perhaps had a very miserable childhood. And even more so because he didn't have aspirations such as that. And so doesn't look back on it, like, a lot at all. Yeah. Like, a lot of the looking back that Dean does is, like, he was already a pretty hefty teenager. Hefty is such a funny word.
Hefty.
What
do you mean by hefty?
Like, he was already a grown teenager.
He was old.
No, because, like, yeah, for me, teenager is like, special. I feel like 13 to 15 is like young, or like 13, 14 is young teenager. And maybe 15 to 18 is like older teenager. And he was already an older teenager in Bad Boys, which is like the big, like, Dean Winchester's childhood episode. And he was already one, okay, also in,
played by a 25-year-old.
Played by 25-year-old high school special, after school special. And I mean, the Striga episode, he was a kid there. But that's not a good flashback. Mm-hmm. Like, that wasn't him, like, looking back with fondness to something or whatever. It was, and it was being reminded to him because of a case that, like, I think in no situation would he rather remember it, you know? So yeah, I think those differences in how Sam and Dean view their childhood are interesting to me. And also, it's so fun to me that I still remember that Striga episode so well because of the... God, did John, like, leave them for bait?
Use them as bait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't recall literally any other monster in Supernatural, I think. Except for that one. While Sam is connecting and mirroring, Dean is looking at, like, the pictures on the fridge. And he sees the man with the wings and the tutu. And he's like, did you draw this? And Jesse says, it's the Tooth Fairy. And Dean's like, oh, okay, so this is what you think the Tooth Fairies
look like, he says that, huh? His dad told him about the Tooth Fairy, and that's probably why I kept saying, Dad, I'm not misogynistic.
You are practicing equality.
Yeah.
Dean is like, huh, okay. And Jesse goes, what, didn't your dad tell you about the Tooth Fairy? And Dean is like, huh, my dad told me different stories, which comes up later in a big way, in a way that I don't understand, but all right.
Not at all.
They start doing this thing where Dean would ask something that happened to those people, and Jesse would say, what happened? So like, oh, what happens when you mix Pop Rocks and Coke? Oh, you go to the hospital. Itching powder, you scratch your brains out. And then Dean shows the thing, the joy vibrator. What's it? The joy.
The joy buzzer.
The joy buzzer. And Jesse was like, oh, you shouldn't do that. It can electrocute you. And Dean says, no, actually, it can't. It's just a toy. It's harmless. It doesn't have batteries. It can't shock you. See? And then he buzzes Sam. And Sam was, of course, shocked by this.
In terms of his emotions.
Yeah.
But not physically.
Not physically. And he was like, see?
In fact, yeah. The point is that he wasn't physically.
He wasn't physically shocked, but he had the shock emotionally of his life.
Yeah. And Dean presses it right to his chest.
Yeah.
Too.
Like, dude.
Like, bro, like, maybe do like a finger. Like, Sam can lose a finger if you're wrong. But, like, you would murder him. And also, I'm sure there's a. Just do it to the fucking soup or something. But yeah, whatever.
Yeah. And yeah, as they're heading out, Sam is like, dude, what the hell? Guess again. Dean was like, well, I mean, I was right, though. And he was.
Yeah, it's fine when Sam does this, so I think for the sake of equality, I need to be fine that Dean did this.
Yeah. Hashtag feminism.
No! Absolutely not. But
yeah. We need to stop joking about feminism. Like,
yeah, we do just... It is a thing that we actually care about for real.
Yeah. Yeah, so they discuss, like, oh, everything he believes comes true. So what are they supposed to do? We're out of our depth, blah, blah, blah. They need to investigate some more.
I just can't believe, like, they figured out what was going on. And they just left instead of, like, sitting the kid down and then being like, can you give us a list of everything your parents told you and we'll tell you the truth? Like, currently, like, they just corrected him on one thing. Like, the next person to mix Pop Rocks and Coke is gonna die. Anyway, in the motel, Sam comes in. He's been looking through records. He was adopted, and there's no listed father, but his biological mother is named Julia Wright, and she lives on the other side of the state. So, they go there, and, like... Her house is kind of run down. There's a no trespassing sign. When they ring the doorbell, the woman, Julia, does not open the door. She just tells them to go away. When they say that they're FBI, she tells them to put their badges in the slot in the door first. Yeah. Clearly very scared about something. And then when she finally opens the door, they say they have some questions about her son.
Well, when she opens her door, like, there's so many locks to it. Like, you hear, like,
yes.
she's unlocking everything, and it's like, click, 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 click.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, like, a fun, like, thing yeah. to... It's fun the way they showcase it.
She denies having a son, but, you know, Sam says some more details about Jesse, and she's like, yeah, okay, what's up? And Sam asks, we were just wondering, was it a normal pregnancy? Like, was there anything weird? And she immediately starts running away from them and freaking out, and they follow her inside, and she starts throwing salt at them, but nothing happens. And she goes, you're not demons? And Dean asks, how do you know about demons? So, we get the backstory, and it's, I'm very sorry to this woman that this happened. She was possessed by a demon when she was younger, I guess like 11 years ago, 12 years ago. And during that time, she was like aware of everything that happened as the demon like murdered people. Sam's quick to reassure her, like, that wasn't you, but it was still a terrible time for her. During that time, she, like, picked up some information about demons, like, she knew that salt would hurt them, all of that. It was in her head for 9 months, so she was possessed during the whole pregnancy and the whole birth. It was just a horrible time. But the demon was really happy to use her body to give birth to a child. But for a brief second, she was able to take control and, like, poured a bunch of road salt down her throat. And it caused the demon to leave. And it left her with this baby that she sort of wanted to kill, but she didn't. She put him up for adoption. And Dean asks, who was the father? And she says, I was a virgin. Which, I guess, means that, like, there was, like, no other, like, physical human body involved in Jesse's creation. Like, the
yeah,
demon
it's
was
the
just
demon
able to do something. Yeah. I don't know. Like, they, like, show flashbacks of the pregnancy, too. So it's, like, very... It's, I don't know. Like, you see her scream. It's all very disturbing, I suppose. She asks after Jesse, is he human? And Dean goes, like, his name is Jesse, he lives in Alliance, Nebraska, and he's a good kid. And then Sam and Dean just leave without telling her about anti-possession tattoos.
Literally.
Like, they just could have drawn one on her with a marker. That would have, like, saved the whole situation, I think. Or, like, devil's traps or anything like that. Like, especially later when, like, Cass tells them, like, oh, like, the demons are going to be after this kid. Someone should have called her and, like, told her something. Danica and I often talk about how, like, if some hunters, if their only job was instead just to, like, graffiti tag places with, like, devil's traps and, like, try to, like, get anti-possession tattoos trending on TikTok, like, that would probably do way better than literally anything Sam and Dean do solo. Yeah, Dean says that they need help, and when they return to the motel, Cass is there, because they called him.
He's so cute, too. He's so cute. Mm-hmm. He's extra cute yeah. this episode.
It's to make up for the fact that all he does is be an asshole.
He tries to kill a kid, yeah.
I was just thinking about him blaming Sam for the apocalypse, but you're right, he also tried to kill a kid.
It is so funny, like, the entire time he was talking to Sam, I was like, rich for the guy who let Sam out.
Yeah, who opened this door? Like, come on. I mean, I think this is just the whole, like, oh my god, Dean, you made me lose all my powers because you made me help you. Like, this is just him, like, blaming everybody else for choices that he made and wanted to make. Though he didn't want to make the Sam
yeah.
choice, the letting him out of the room. Cass says that it's lucky that you found the boy, because we have to kill him. And Dean's like, Cass. And Cass says that, you know, this child who's half demon and half human is way more powerful than either. You know him as the Antichrist. And then, you know, he sits down on the whoopee cushion and it's just not particularly funny, but Dean goes like, who put that there?
And Cass goes, that was not me. Well, I think it's, yeah. I think they're cute. Like, the three of them. It's Team Free Will! Oh my god! It's Team Free Will. And Cass tries to kill a kid. Hashtag Team Free Will.
Cass does try to kill a kid. He used his free will to try to kill a kid. Good for him. Wasn't this the scene where, like, fucking Misha Collins was like, I don't think this is, like, befitting of the dignity of an angel. I don't want to do it.
Is that true?
Did I make that up?
I don't think that's true. I may have made that up. Maybe you thought it. Maybe you're the physical manifestation of Misha Collins.
No, don't you dare say that. Jesse is not, like, Lucifer's son. He's just demon spawn, but also one of the devil's greatest weapons in the war against heaven. And the demons are looking for him. Oh, this is the part. Dean says they lost him because, and Cass says, because of the child's power, it hides him from both angels and demons for now. And Dean says, so he's got like a force field around him. And no, Dean, suspicion slides off him. Like, whatever it is, water slides off of. Know your lines better, bro. Soon, he's gonna get more powerful and more powerful until the demons notice him. And Lucifer twists him to his purpose. And then, with a word, he will destroy the host of heaven. Cass goes, we cannot allow that to happen. I thought we didn't really like the angels that much, or at least Dean doesn't.
Well, but because I guess Cass the angels is an angel. Here is Michael. So if it's Michael versus Lucifer,
then vote third party. But yeah, what's up?
If Lucifer is super powered, then he could just easily defeat Michael.
Yeah, that's true.
Which means the apocalypse would start earlier or whatever. I'm not sure the logic of this.
Yeah, I'm not certain. And then Sam says the funniest line in the entire episode. Like, I had to pause because I was laughing too hard. He goes, wait. And he stands up and he goes, we're the good guys. We don't kill children.
Iconic.
Ha ha ha. Incredibly funny behavior. We're the good guys is such a funny... I just cannot imagine a scenario where I would say we're the good guys or think we're the good guys. It's just whatever. Just, you could just say like, I'm against killing children. You don't have to be like, it's against my image as a good guy to kill a child. Yeah, I don't want to get canceled on Twitter over killing a child. And Cass turns to him with a glare. And he says, a year ago, you would have done whatever it took to win this war. Like, drinking demon blood personally, not even doing anything to anyone else about it, is equivalent to killing an 11-year-old. And the thing is, like, Sam was like, I think Dean was right. I'm going to turn back, like, the moment that he had to drink blood out of, like, a conscious, like, adult woman. Like, he would not have killed a child a year ago. Yeah, but Sam apparently is like, this is a correct equivalency.
Yeah.
Because he just goes, things change. And... you know, tension is crackling, non-sexually, sadly, and Dean sort of steps forward.
You think this is non-sexual tension? I was like, when are they gonna hate fuck?
You think it's sexual? Maybe it is.
Maybe that's what makes them good tension. In bed.
Maybe it is. So Dean steps forward, and he, like, sort of puts himself between them. And he puts a hand on Sam's arm, which I guess is, like, a nice sort of, like... I can't tell if it's, like, a... I think it is probably, like, a I'm on Sam's side here sort of gesture. So that's helpful. That's a good turn of events. And he says, like, like, we're not going to kill him, but we can't leave him here either, so we'll take him to Bobby's. He'll know what to do. Can't they call Bobby and ask right him now, what to do if literally. Bobby will know what to do? And Cass goes, you'll kidnap him? Which, literally.
He's like, I can accept murdering children, but I draw the line at kidnapping them.
Exactly.
And he literally does. He explains his reasoning, too.
Yeah, he does. Good for him. Oh, Cass, in, less than 10 years, you're gonna be such a good dad to Antichrist Part 2.
Yeah, that is something that I thought about a lot this episode. Jack, this is the precursor to Jack. This is the before Jack.
I miss Jack. I look forward to meeting them.
I do miss Jack.
Cass, who previously has been using he-him pronouns mostly for Jesse, switches to it so fast. Which I guess is just, him trying to
dehumanize,
convince
them
and also convince himself. Yeah. He goes, what's going on in this town is what happens when this thing is happy. You cannot imagine what it will do when it's angry. And then he goes back to him, where he goes, how will you hold him with a thought he could be halfway around the world? Foreshadowing. Dean starts with Zoe, but then Sam interrupts, and he goes, so we tell him the truth. You say Jesse is destined to go dark side. Fine. Yeah, so if we lay it all out for him, what he is, the apocalypse, everything, he might make the right choice. Oh, Sam!
The thing about Sam is he thinks this is what happened with him, and he made the wrong choice. But, not everything was laid out for him.
Yeah, exactly. He was not given the information. He was given false information on purpose from, Cass, as well as, Ruby and the rest of the angels.
And he was on the lookout, and he still got tricked.
Oh, Sam. It's a nice moment. But then, the thing is, right? We said the point of it is that Sam says we give him all the information, because the point is that Sam wasn't given all the information. But then Cass does a false equivalency thing again, and they don't seem to question it. At no point do they, actually make the connection that I thought they were trying to make, which is that Sam was not given all the information. It's confusing. I don't know what they're going for exactly.
Yeah. Well, Cass is being a hater is what they're going for.
Cass is being a hater. Cass goes, you didn't. Which, not the same situation at all. And he goes, and I can't take that chance. And then he immediately disappears.
It is fun that Cass doesn't have any pretenses about mirrors. He knows exactly what Sam is doing here, and he's just you're projecting. And he does it, he does it. We've talked about, how he always brings up John when talking to Dean.
Yeah, when he's talking to Dean.
And he's talking about, God. Because he's and that's the mirror in this situation. He loves to connect the dots, and he loves to be explicit about it. Good for him.
Yeah, he'd be great at making Parallels gift sets on Tumblr.
Literally, he should make AMVs.
Yeah, Cass can drop by. I'll show him how to use Vegas Pro 14.
I'll show him how to use InShot. So we go to Julia, and she's just about to enter her house, she's unlocked the doors and stuff, when suddenly the mailman is in front of her, and she got surprised a bit. But this is obviously a guy she trusts, so she's sorry, I'm having a jittery day and all that. And the mailman is that'll happen if you talk to the Winchesters, which is this is a demon. And it is. And the mailman is saying, we've been watching you. You gave away the kid. And we don't know where the kid was. But now we do. Because the Winchesters told you, blah, blah, blah. So now let's go to your kid. And then the demon possesses her. And oh, by the way, it's made explicit that this is the demon that was possessing her before.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's quite bad. Like, they do a lot of the, like, sexual assault imagery in the form of the possession. Like,
yeah,
you know, he calls her sweetheart and he possesses her by, like, bringing their mouths really, really close so that the demon smoke can go into her mouth. Very sorry that this happened to her.
Yeah.
And again, like, I think this is, like, it's fine that they did this. Like, I think it's, like, an interesting concept, and I think it makes sense to connect it to sexual assault. It's just that the fact that after this happens, like, she never gets to be conscious and speaking again. Yeah. Like, that's the issue.
Yeah, like, I think it's interesting. Really. I really do, but...
Yeah. Like, I think it's a good plot. It's just that the way that they destroyed her immediately, like the narrative does. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that is something this episode highly lacks. Like, I feel like a lot of stuff just don't have any good conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Jesse is a good concept. Julia, good concept. Like, pretty much every... Like, the case is a good concept. It's just all the follow-throughs are like, okay, where are we now? Cass doesn't even have, like, a, like, now I realize portion. Like, he's just like, okay, that's it. He's in Australia.
Because he didn't realize. He was like, there's nothing we can do about it. I'd still kill that kid if I could.
Yeah. He was like, oh, damn it. I wanted to kill that kid so bad. That was his reality.
Exactly.
Now, we are at Jesse's house. And his parents are here now, but they're upstairs asleep. And he's downstairs getting a fucking cup of water. And as he's walking out, Cass appears. And he has his hand tucked away behind him. And I was like, that's so cute. And then we
go. Oh, you didn't know it was because there was a knife?
And then we go, like, have a shot of his back, and it's because he's holding a knife. And I was like, slay. Good for you, Castiel. But he's like, oh, don't worry. Don't be afraid. I won't hurt you. Liar. Or maybe he really... Also, this is Ruby's knife.
Yes, because
he stole it. Okay, earlier we see it on Dean, and the reason why I say this is because this was before they entered Jesse's house the first time. Because it was just the shot was just their bodies, right? So they're walking, and somebody pulls aside his jacket, and you see the knife slung around his waist. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. Sam's carrying the knife. And then we pan up and it's not Sam, it's Dean. And I was like, oh, okay.
Aww.
That's so sad. But it also does mean so that sad. Cass stole it from Dean specifically, which is pretty funny to me.
Mm.
Well, he should have stolen it from Sam. Just another thing that he will never tell Sam about forever and ever. Yeah, this is why Sam and Cass were never endgame. Like, this is just not something they can get past.
The knife stealing that didn't happen?
You know what? The knife stealing that did not happen. They can never get past it. But also, like, letting Sam out of that fucking room.
Yeah.
It was the first betrayal.
That's fair.
Jesse calls for his mom and dad, but Cass is like, well, they're sleeping. And they won't be waking up anytime soon.
To be fair,
Cass looks apologetic. And he does say, I'm sorry. He says, I'm so sorry.
Sorry.
And then he raises his knife. And then just as he is about to stab, Sam and Dean enter. And they ask, okay, is there a guy here with a trench coat? And Jesse just points down And there's a guy in the trench coat that's an action figure. And it's like,
fuck yeah.
They really stylized this to hell and back too. Like, the trench coat is so fluffy.
It's billowing.
Yeah.
The face doesn't really look like Cass, though.
Yeah, I'll accept it. It's cute.
God bless. Okay, so they're chatting now. Jesse asks Dean, was he, like, Cass? Was he your friend? And Dean goes, denies no.
Just like Jesus. Nah. Denied like Jesus for fucking real.
Jesse goes, like, how did I do that? And Dean starts off, like, Dean's strategy is just lying his entire ass off. And I think in certain situations it would work, but because this is the Sam Mirror episode where it's like, you do have to tell this kid the truth. It doesn't eventually work out. But at the beginning, Jesse seems kind of taken in by this story where Dean says that he's a superhero.
Just like the X-Men.
Sam and I, work for a secret government agency. So we're going to take you to a hidden base in South Dakota where you'll be trained to fight evil. Just like the X-Men.
And also he even says, like, Bobby's in a wheelchair.
Just like Dr. X?
Yeah. That's the reference, right?
Yeah.
Or is it Magneto? Yeah. I know nothing about the X-Men.
I don't know. I think Danica said it was Dr. X or something.
Wow. Aren't they gay?
Okay, I'm going to look it up. Who?
Magneto and Dr. X. Yes or no? Let's answer this once and for all.
Oh, this is so... I looked up Dr. X images and it's just porn. I probably should have foreseen that. Okay.
It's Professor X.
Yeah, he's in a wheelchair. Professor X, I see.
Professor X, X Magneto. Let's look it up. Are they in love?
I feel like we would know.
No, I'm pretty sure they're gay.
Like, for real?
Yeah. Oh, they're like old besties.
So, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah. They're old friends, just like when Harry met Sally.
Harry and Sally.
Yeah. Okay, well, they're gay. We have decided once and for all. Congratulations to all Magneto X, Professor X shippers.
And Dean says, you'll be a hero. You'll save lives. You'll get the girl. Sounds like fun, right? Dean Winchester, what do you think that people want? I mean, maybe Jesse does want to get the girl, but I would not assume that that was a high priority for this 11-year-old who lives alone and all we know about him is that he thinks that itching powder will make you scratch your brains out. Yeah, Jesse, you know, again, seems to be taken in by this, but then suddenly the demon who's possessing Julia, his birth mother, comes in and
smashes Dean against the wall.
Yeah, flings Sam against the wall, says, they're lying to you. It also tells Sam that, like, under orders, it can't hurt him. But hurting Dean is encouraged. Slay. And Jesse yells, leave him alone. The demon, like, starts talking to him, saying that he has his father's eyes. Untrue. They're not completely black. I don't know what you're talking about. The demon says, I'm your mother. And you're half human, half one of us. And Dean, who has completely given up the superhero gig, goes, she means demons, Jesse. The demon starts saying that the people who are Jesse's parents lied to him. And also probably don't love him because they leave him alone all day.
I mean.
And
they really do leave him alone all day.
Yeah, I wish if we just had seen more interactions, like, I feel like we'd get a better handle on what kind of a parent-child relationship this is, and that would make more sense for Jesse's emotional journey, but we do not, alas. Yeah. The demon says, like, you know, they lied about the tooth fairy and how your toys could hurt you and a bunch of other things. Everyone has lied to you. Including Sam and Dean, they're not FBI agents and you're not a superhero. Meanwhile, you're powerful and you can do anything you want. Everyone else treated you like a child and they didn't trust you, but like, aren't you angry about that? And Jesse causes like the fire in the fireplace to flare up and the house is shaking. The demon says that Jesse should come with them and just start over in a world without lies. Which, isn't that something Jack does? Doesn't he make it so that no one can lie?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
He makes that a reality.
I remember that. Yeah, so this really is the precursor to Jack.
God, and it's going to be season 13. It's going to be so long.
So far in the future. The whole time Dean's been yelling like, hey, don't listen to her, don't listen to her. And, you know, it's not working. But then finally Sam speaks, because, again, this is his mirror. And he goes, she's right. We lied to you. But I'll tell you the truth. I just want to tell. And he's like starting to get strangled by the demon.
Yeah.
But Jesse goes, stop it. I want to hear what he has to say. Sam stands up, and he's very lovely. He apologizes for lying. He introduces himself properly. He says, we hunt monsters. And then the demon just says, except when you are the monster, right, Sammy? Completely unnecessary.
I think really
also, what Dean did hunt him, honestly.
Yeah, what should be said here was... Yeah, and that's why like, you're looking
like,
for this
so
kid.
So that's why you're gonna kill Jesse. Jesse, don't listen to him. He's gonna kill you. Like, that's the obvious thing to say.
But the gaffe about that. I don't know. Some of the conclusions of this episode are mind-boggling.
Very strange. I agree. But Sam ignores the demon. And he says, and that woman right there, her name is Julia, and she's your mother, but the thing inside of her is a demon. And, like, you know, the demon's still like, he's not telling the truth, don't listen to him. But Jesse forces the demon to sit down. And then Sam explains that there's a war between angels and demons, and Jesse is a part of it. And Jesse goes, I'm just a kid.
Aww.
Were there times when you were a kid that you thought the sentence, I'm just a kid, though? I feel like it's something that adults put on kids.
Yeah.
You have thought the sentence, yes. I'm just a kid?
I think mostly when people say, that's just a kid about other kids. And I'm like, well, me too. So I don't know if this is an appropriate thing to think for Jesse. But it seems to be something that has been on his head, like being a kid and all
that's
that.
True.
Because it was brought up earlier. Because,
earlier there was the whole, like, I'm not a kid when Sam calls him a kid. And then the demon recently was like, everyone treated you like a kid. So, yeah, I guess he has been chewing on that for a while and he has landed on, I am just a kid. Sam says, you can go with her if you want. I can't stop you. No one can. But if you do, millions of people will die. And, yeah, this is him just giving him the information and hoping that he'll make the right choice. It's nice. If this was an adult, they would have killed him by now. But,
definitely.
It is good to have different standards for adults and kids, I think. I just think that their standards for adults should be a little laxer as well. Jesse goes, she said I was half demon. Is that true? And it's supernatural, which cannot drop its biological determinism for a single second. Goes, yes, but you're half human, too. Demons are also human. Like, they literally, like, if we're gonna play on Supernatural's playground, like, demons were also human. I don't, whatever. It's fine. And also, obviously, just the biological determinism in general is dumb as fuck. Like, the only thing that, like, the demon, like, genetics or whatever gave him was powers. It doesn't mean that you're an asshole automatically. Yeah. Like, all of this was, like, created through trauma. He tells Jesse, like, you can do the right thing, and you've got choices, but if you make the wrong ones, it will haunt you for the rest of your life. And Jesse goes, "You're trying to mirror me, aren't you?" He goes, "Why are you telling me this?" For real. And Sam says, "Yes, I'm trying to mirror you." Because he says, "Because I have to believe someone can make the right choice, even if I couldn't." You know what? Good for him. If him doing this is, like, helpful to Jesse, then there we go. And Jesse thinks for a second, and then he demands that the demon possessing his birth mother gets out of her. And it does. And then Jesse's just standing there. And Dean goes, like, "How'd you do that?" Jesse said, "I just did." And Dean goes, "Kid, you're awesome." He should have said, "Little boy, little boy." And yeah, and Julia is passed out for the rest of the episode, as I've complained about multiple times, but I'll complain about it again. What the fuck?
Like, all we get from her is, like, Jesse asking, "Is she gonna be all right?" And Dean being like, "Eventually." Which, like, let her speak for herself.
Yeah.
Give her a fucking tattoo.
Yeah. For real. Also, when Jesse leaves, is she gonna wake up in the house and the parents are gonna wake up with a note on Jesse's bed saying, like, "I left, sorry," and there's this woman they've never met before.
Maybe Cassiel magicked her.
Like, they're gonna think, yeah, maybe. I hope so, because they're gonna think that she killed him or some shit.
Yeah.
And when they find out that it's his birth mother, they'll be like, "You kidnapped him, or you came back here to, like, kill him or do something to him," and, like, she's gonna be miserable.
Dean is now holding the Cass action figure. And yeah, he goes to Jesse, "Well, the truth is, he's kind of a buddy of mine. Is there any way you could turn him back?" And Jesse just goes, "He tried to kill me." And Dean,
like, for real.
And he goes, "Right. Well, he's a good guy. He was just confused." Dean literally says, "He's just a little guy.
Birthday. He's a little birthday boy."
Yeah. Maybe this is Dean's blurbo from his action figure set.
What's that? "Well, I forgive him because he has anxiety and his dick is 10 inches long." So true. Yeah, and throbbing. For and I real. Want him to fuck me. Yeah.
Yeah. But only after season 5.
What? Oh, yeah, because that's when Jimmy dies.
Yeah. Yeah. And Dean finally gives up when Jesse says nothing. And it's like, "Okay, well, it's been a long night. We'll talk about it next time." It's good. So funny. Yeah. That is a body of his. Jesse asks, like, "What do we do now?" And Sam and Dean are saying, like, "We will get you somewhere safe." Dean says, "You'll be handy in a fight, kid." And Jesse goes, "What if I don't want to fight?" And Sam says, "Well, you're so powerful, and you're more powerful than anything we've ever seen. That makes you..." And Jesse goes, "I'm gonna really push with the Sam mirroring this episode." And he goes, "A freak." And Sam's like, "Well, to some people, but not to us. See, we're kind of freaks ourselves." And then we see, like, a shot
you
of
dare. Dean. Dean cannot reclaim. You do not get to give Dean the honorary freak card. Dean is not a freak. He would not self-identify as a freak. And he doesn't deserve to have the title of freak, given how he treats people that he views as freaks and how he treated you when he viewed you as a freak. Wrong. Literally. Sam's allowed to be a freak. Dean is not. He's not part of this shit. Get him out of here.
Jesse is finally realizing the gravity of the situation, that he'll have to leave his family behind. And he says, like, "I don't want to." But Sam says, "You're gonna be putting them in danger." So, and they talk, and Dean mentions John. And he said, "Our dad, he would take us with him wherever he went. And he's dead now. A demon killed him." What is the true line here?
Because Jesse wants to take his parents.
No, I know. But with, like, him or, oh. the way this analogy is happening. Oh, yeah,
what's the logic?
Like, what is the logic behind it?
Because it's Sam and Dean are the parents in this situation, the people who are being brought along. So yeah. It's like, Jesse, you'll die if you bring your parents with you. Like, what is this?
Yeah, but whatever.
Yeah, like, I think it's just like being with your family in a group like that leaves any of you vulnerable or whatever.
But Jesse asks, what should I do? And Sam says, we can't tell you. It's your choice. It's not fair. I know. Jesse goes, well, I'm going to say goodbye to my parents. So he goes.
Yeah. And not to Julia, not once.
He looks at his parents' bed, and then he goes to his room, and then he goes to fucking Australia.
He said, I want to be Chase from House. He literally said,
I'm going to be Jesse Spencer. Maybe this is Jesse Spencer's origin story.
Yeah, I would believe that Jesse's parents are, what, like, far-right politicians?
Yeah.
Given all the bullshit they've been spouting at him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sam is like, oh, he's been there so long, let's go check on him.
Yeah.
And they do.
Maybe he's fireproof.
And Cass goes, and they enter the room, and the kid is gone. And Cass, who is now back to being not an action figure ghost, he's gone. Cass says he doesn't know where he is. He just vanished. And he put everyone in town who was still alive back together. And they notice the sign. They notice the note on the bed, which says, like, oh, I have to leave and keep my parents safe. Sorry. And Cass says, well, we can't find him anymore because he doesn't want to be found, and so therefore we can't. They're driving out now, and Sam and Dean are having a conversation where Dean asks, like,
which is just like a worse version of the 118 conversation.
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah, but Dean goes, you think Jesse's gonna be okay? And Sam's like, well, I hope so. And Dean says, we destroyed that kid's life by telling him the truth.
Like, no, you, like, the lying was actually what caused all the problems. And also, you didn't tell him the truth for most of it.
No, you know what this is a parallel to? It was telling Sam the truth about having monsters. Yeah,
which is also what 118 was sort of
about. Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, I see the through line now that I think about it. Here's the conclusion Dean gets. Because Sam says, we didn't have a choice, Dean. And Dean says, yeah, but I'm starting to see why parents lie to their kids. You want them to believe that the worst thing out there is mixing Pop Rocks and Coke. Protect them from the real evil. You want them going to bed feeling safe. That doesn't
make any sense as a sentence.
If that means lying to them, so be it. The more I think about it, the more I wish Dad had lied to us. And Sam goes, yeah, me too. And I don't know. It's just... is this the conclusion to the episode?
It's like... We need to know more about his parents. About Jesse's parents to, like, know anything. Like, it's good to say that, like, to lie about that shit. Like, it's not, though. It, like, literally caused people to, like, die.
No, but, and like...
we have no proof that it's hiding him from the real evil or whatever. Yeah.
Like, maybe he also knows about werewolves. Who fucking knows?
Yeah.
But, like, the thing here that I'm, like, this is a fine conversation to have in this episode, even. But for the last scene of the episode, like, this could be a conversation they maybe have. About
telling the truth and how, like, lying caused the problems.
Like, this could be something that's in the middle of the episode, you know? Like, as they're processing it, they have this conversation. And it could be meaningful. It's just because it's at the very end. And it has no music.
This is the takeaway.
It has no music. It continues on to the credits, no music. And it's like, they're trying to do something here. And it just doesn't work. Because this is not the place or time in the episode anymore to be having this discussion.
Right.
So, yeah. Well, what did we think about this episode?
I think it was pretty good.
I think it was good.
It didn't wrap things up very nicely.
Very nicely.
Yeah, failed at that.
Failed at that. But Otherwise, I think it's a fun episode. Or at least it was characteristic of what Supernatural. Of what makes Supernatural enjoyable to watch on an episode-to-episode basis. Well, best line, worst line?
The line where Sam says, you know, like, so we tell him the truth and all of that. And yeah, if we lay it all out for him, he might make the right choice. It's, yeah, it's nice. Oh, Sam.
Well, I would put that also, but because you already put it, I'll just say I like the buddy of mine. He's kind of a buddy of mine. I think that's, it's cute. Yeah. I think it is cute.
Worst line.
I think eventually, like when Jesse asks, is she going to be okay? And Dean says eventually.
Oh, yeah.
I hated that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it is supposed to be a thing where it's like Dean, like, automatically wanted to say sure, yes, but then like he's like, I'm gonna tell the truth and say eventually instead. But it's like, this should not be about Dean, you deciding to tell the truth to Jesse. Like, this is about Julia, but it's not, because Daniel Laughlin and Andrew Depp just hate women so much.
Well,
yeah, I agree with that one. That is my main issue with the episode.
Okay. Well, what's our spreadsheets?
Spread. I feel like dropping the ball on Julia deserves like a point, like not that many, because I don't think it's like intrinsic. It's just,
I think it's two. I think it's intermingling with between intrinsic and not.
Yeah, yeah.
Racism is a zero, and homophobia. How would you like to rate this?
The Tooth Fairy, I think, counts as like a mix of trans misogyny and homophobia. I think if we had more clarification on exactly what was up, we would be able to better classify it.
I think this kind of falls under my, just because they have that a character who is queer or presents as queer doesn't make it homophobic. But I think I can safely say
that this is supposed to be a funny thing. So scary and weird. Yeah. And it's like, it adds to the scariness and weirdness, because it's that it's weird, a man wearing a tutu.
So
I think, a one makes sense.
So how about our IMDb's? Our IMDb guesses?
I need to not do such a bad job this time. This is a case of Fallen Idols was low, but partly because I hated Paris Hilton. I think it's pretty good, and I feel like the concept would be interesting to people, but like, they might also find the Sam Mayer stuff irritating, because a lot of people don't like Sam right now. So I'm gonna put it below. A lot of people do. Free to be you and
I thought it was just me.
Okay, maybe just that one person.
It was just me and that one IMDb reviewer.
Yeah. So okay, I'm gonna go 0.1 below Free to Be You and Me. I'm gonna go with an 8.4.
I'm also actually going to go with an 8.4, but should I change it for some variety?
No, we can do the same thing. Okay. As long as you were thinking it beforehand.
Yeah.
But it doesn't do anything for our competition, though.
Yeah, I'm still waiting, I think.
Oh, definitely, I think.
Okay, let's see. Huh, it's an 8.5. We're both near.
Okay. So I benchmarked it all right. That's good to know.
People wish they revisited the concept later.
Yeah, because it's like, it seems like Jesse could come back. They could run into him again.
Yeah. We never see Jesse again. That there were more after all these years.
Something.
This one says that the conversations with the kid were boring and a little cringy. We have a Sam Mirror hater in the cows.
Yeah. They don't understand.
This one doesn't have many reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be fair, to this, we had Fallen Idols, and prior to this, we had The End, and prior to this, we had Free to Be You and Me. So, like, you understand that this is not, ones are going to be review heavies, and this one probably isn't.
This one says that Cass is obviously confused, as Dean put it. He is alone now with no orders to guide him, and he must figure out how to manage on his own, but he's stumbling along the way. Is how they characterize his decision to kill that kid.
Yeah.
I think Cass just really just did want to kill that kid. I don't know if he was stumbling. I think he's just a guy who wants to kill that kid.
Perhaps. I think Cass may just want to kill a kid. Any kid, really.
Yeah. Oh, and they're congratulating the actress for Julia for doing a really good job playing both the demon and Julia. That's true. I didn't even think about it as they're the same actors. They were like...
There are like performances that are very good in Supernatural in terms of possession, where I'm just like, oh, and that's just a different actor. And it's literally not. But this is one of them. Yeah, it was really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that was good.
Yeah, so I think that's it for this episode of Busty Asian Beauties. Next week, we will be discussing Season 5, Episode 7, The Curious Case of Dean Winchester. Leave us a rating or a review wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow us on social media. We are on Tumblr at bustyasianbeautiespod.tumblr.com. Our official tag is babpod, B-A-B-pod. And thanks to everyone who's donated to our Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/bustyasianbeautiespod, which is where our outtakes live. And check out our merch at babpod.redbubble.com.
You can email us any feedback, comments, or inquiries at bustyasianbeautiespod@gmail.com. See you guys next time. Bye.